Welcome back to In Depth, our PSA program on Lotus Radio. My second and final guest is Sandy Arguello from Koinonia Family Services. And thank God I got that right. Actually, we talked about it before the interview started, so I made sure I had all my ducks in a row as far as pronunciation goes. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Ian.
How are you?
I'm great.
Wonderful. And you do great work. And I have
thank
to say
you.
That right off the bat.
Thank
and
you.
In case people don't know, Koinonia, what is that? Actually, what does it mean to start off?
Koinonia is a Greek word that means to be in relationship with people.
In relationship with people.
Well, and that's really the hallmark of Koinonia.
Yeah, definitely. It's an apt name. So what is it about, in case people don't know?
Well, Koinonia Foster Homes and Family Services, we provide services to children. We have foster homes, but we have other services as well. We have a day treatment, a couple day treatments, and we have psychiatric services for kids, and we have outpatient services for kids. But the founder of our organization was a foster parent. She was a foster parent for 27 years and fostered 36 children in that time frame. And she was so good at what she did. They were over in California in Placer County. They were so good at what they did that Placer County came to them and asked them if they would start an agency. So they ultimately started, they were in the field when it was still just becoming a field, and what we do is considered treatment level foster care, and the model was still being created back then. And so Miriam was one of the first people within the agency or the entire country was developing this model of treatment level foster care.
That's wonderful. And what set it apart as far as kind of pioneering this kind of treatment and such?
Just literally working with really difficult children with significant mental health issues and children who may show more significant behavioral issues.
Okay.
So ultimately, they were just very good at it as foster parents. And then the field has become more sophisticated with time with research and how are we making sure that we're really providing what we call trauma-informed care to children.
Okay. So yeah, especially the field of mental health, I feel like has grown by leaps and bounds, has really advanced.
Absolutely. And the research will continue to do that because the more we can understand the brain and we can see things that we couldn't see before through functional MRIs and things like that, we'll just see more and more. Are the techniques and the ideas that we're using actually making a difference in kids' lives? Are kids getting better? And we can see that more now through research.
Wonderful. How long, I want to know your background. How long have you been with the organization?
I've been with Koinonia for 21 years.
21 years.
Yes.
And that's been your main gig?
It has been my main gig. And actually,
so to speak.
When I went to Koinonia, I expected to stay for about a year because that wasn't really what I was planning for my life. But when I got to this agency, it was an amazing place. And so here I am.
For sure. And what work do you do specifically?
I guess? I'm the director and the clinical director for Koinonia. So I'm also a licensed marriage and family therapist.
Oh, okay.
So I run both the business side of things, but I'm also the clinical director and I clinically supervise all of our programs.
I got you. So how many programs do you have?
There's four programs.
So four programs. And how are they going, I guess, is a general question.
Great question. How are they going? You know, this is a field that continues to grow and change. And
it's different from day to day.
Different from day to day. And again, it goes back to the research question. The more we try to look at the research, although there are some things that stay the same within the field, you're always looking for the next pioneering method of how can you better serve children and families.
Cool. So actually, can we go through each of those little categories? Just one by one, just give a quick overview if you want.
So again, the first one is treatment level foster care. And that's really the core of what we do. And that's actually called now specialized foster care. So we have specialized services for children and the families that like the foster parent would be called a specialized foster parent. And they've been trained in a very specific way to work with kids who have had trauma in their lives. So that's what we do with our families. And then secondly, we have day treatments. I have an after school day treatment and one that has a school attached to it. And they are designed to serve very specific mental health diagnoses of children. And then there's an outpatient clinic. So that's the psychotherapy or the therapy. And so those kids, they might be receiving therapy with their biological families or by themselves or with their foster families. And then there's a psychiatric clinic. So there's I have a psychiatrist who's also my medical director and lots of kids see her. And that would be primarily for medication management.
Okay. Wow. So you're dealing with a lot of stuff, a lot of aspects, I guess, different levels.
We are.
All right. So one thing you really wanted to stress is the foster care aspect when you came in. And I imagine there'd be quite a process for somebody to become a specialized foster parent.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of training. It's by law. It's 40 hours of pre-service training. And the reason I wanted to talk mostly about the foster care side of things is because there's an extreme shortage of foster parents.
Okay.
And that's a national situation, and it's certainly a situation in Nevada, and it's a situation in our level of care. So it's sometimes people don't think much about fostering. And the research shows that most people think about being a foster parent for about 5 years before they actually step forward with the idea of doing it.
Wow.
So, and the other thing that happens in Koinonia is we have a tremendous amount of adoptions that happen through our agency. Families just fall in love with kids and end up adopting them.
Okay.
And then those families would no longer be fostering, or they might have a few less foster beds because they've become adoptive beds. So there's always a need for new foster families to be coming in, and there is a shortage of foster families.
Why do you think that is?
Again, I think it's because people don't know that there's a need.
Okay.
I personally believe that our kids are somewhat invisible, and it's not because anyone's trying to be mean or unkind. It's just like it's not something you stop to think about.
Right. Okay. Well, hopefully we can change some people's minds who are listening right now.
I would love that.
So how do they get involved? I mean, how do they get the process started?
They certainly call our office at 826-1113, and I have a person who's our actual foster parent recruiter. That would be the first person. Her name is Angel, and there's a conversation that happens. They're usually a long conversation.
Yeah.
Lots of questions to ask, and especially for the person calling in.
Right.
And so we're really looking for a good match for our agency and the family. Is it a good fit for your family? And then ultimately, if Angel feels like it's a good match for Koinonia, then they ultimately come in and meet with me. And we have another really personal conversation about, like, what's your family like? What are you looking for? What's best for your family? Because if it's not good for your family, it's not good for a foster kid either. We're always looking for the great match. So there's the 40 hours of training. It takes usually a course of a few months to go through that training because you don't want to do it too fast. You want people to have time to really understand the training that they're receiving. And then once they're fully licensed, then they continue to have weekly visits with us. In addition to, we're all tied to 24/7 cell phones. You can have contact whenever you need it. And when you're first learning to be a foster parent, you learn more with those first foster children than you do in the training. But the training is by law, and there's a reason for that. And that's when we're really getting to know each other.
Okay.
So it's about usually a four-month process to get licensed.
Okay, four-month process. Is that daunting for some people, do you think?
Even if
they start the process, do you think they're like, whoa,
well,
I don't know.
Usually within Koinonia, I've been doing this so long, when you sit at my table, we'll know by the end of that conversation if it's a good match.
Yeah.
So usually if people are with Koinonia, if we decide that it's a good match and they decide it's a good match and they end up coming to our training, they make it through the training.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, beautiful. Hopefully people can get involved. And I guess thinking about it, besides the shortage of foster families, are there other obstacles that you've come across that have popped up that are kind of new or just something has become more prevalent that you weren't expecting?
That's a great question.
I know. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off.
I think probably the biggest obstacle is people's perception that it's so hard, they wonder if they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, the really cool thing about it is kids are kids. And like if you saw our kids at the grocery store, you wouldn't know that they were any different than any other child.
True enough.
And just like in our normal parenting in life, you learn as you go. So I think it's if anything holds us back, it's that people just have a, you know, maybe wonder if they can do the work.
And if you think you can and you want to get involved, then by all means. And how can people get in contact with you again?
Again, the number at the office is 826-1113.
Okay.
And I guess what I'd like to say back to you is you just said, if you think you can. I think that the question is, do you feel a little tug on your heart?
Yeah.
Do you feel something? Because if you feel something, then make the call. Because don't pre-screen yourself out.
True enough.
By thinking if you can. Try to make that conversation with us. Let us have that conversation so that we can really decide together.
There we go. Well, thank you for correcting me on that one.
Thank you.
Because I didn't want to use the wrong, I don't know, verbiage, I guess you would say. Yes.
Thank you.
Use your feelings and just kind of go with those. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
As far as funding goes, is it local? Do you get grants? I mean, how does it work for you guys?
Primarily, we have a contract with the state and the county, depending on where the children are placed, because we have homes that are also within the jurisdiction of the state of Nevada.
Okay.
So if you're out of Washoe County, that's a different jurisdiction. But that money, there's a contract specifically with them, and then we're paid directly by them. And then in addition to that, all of our children have Medicaid. So they have what's called fee-for-service Medicaid, and all of their medical is taken care of through that. So we also look for additional money, fundraising, some grant money to take care of all the things that might not be covered, you know, special needs kinds of things. But there is a reimbursement to foster families, and it's very stable as far as, you know, every single month that reimbursement check comes in the mail and the people can have the money to take care of the children.
Wonderful. I don't want to get too, political, but there's some healthcare services that are might be in trouble as a result of things going on in Congress and so on and so forth. Is there things that are might be affected if changes are implemented as far as you guys go?
That's a great question. The reality is the kids need to be taken care of.
Yes.
And we're not expecting significant changes in the funding of what we do.
Okay. Well, there's at least a silver lining there. Mm-hmm. I mean, luckily nothing's happened yet, but
Right. Yeah,
just want to make sure you guys are taken care of as well.
Right.
Besides, so you do some fundraising, some grant money. Is there anything, even just items that people can donate, mm-hmm. even if they're not going to, if they're not willing to go the whole nine yards and be a foster, specialized foster parent?
Another great question. So one of the things that we see, and most families would recognize, whether it's foster or just your own kids here in the community, is that kids are expensive. Activities are expensive. Mm-hmm. So we're very interested always in things like gift cards. So our families can cover all the basics. But think about taking a group of children bowling or even to a movie or up to Donner Lake. There are things that are expensive. So if they're interested in gift cards and things like that, again, call the office. We'll give you ideas. And then we just hand them out to families and they love that stuff.
That's a fantastic. It's nice to have those little fringe benefits of like, taking them to a movie or just having them enjoy themselves.
Exactly.
That's a good thing. All right, cool. Sandy Arguello, Koinonia Family Services. Anything else you would like to add? Anything you'd like to stress? Maybe give out some contact info again.
Our office is 826-1113. And I guess what I want to add is I'm so impressed that you can say our name. Thank you. Not only my last name, but Koinonia. So, wow, you get the prize of the day.
Well, I got to admit, we did go over some pronunciation stuff before the interview started.
I'm
got
still
a
impressed.
Full disclosure. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very nice of you to say. I'm so glad you could come in. Any
thank you.
Events you have coming up, fundraising wise, whatever, I mean, even just down the road, a couple months, come back in. We'll talk about this again because it was a pleasure to have you in.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.